Say this after me. Say, I'm filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please Him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. I increase in the knowledge of God. I'm strengthened with all might by His glorious power. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say it as the word of God comes forth this evening. I have understanding. I have insight. I receive direction. And I receive life. In the name of Jesus. Say it again. Say all the works of the devil. They are driven out by the power of the word. Say the entrance of this word gives me light, makes me wise. Gives me understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me another amen.
Amen.
All right, quickly, let's begin our study today. We have been speaking about the cross of Christ, and today I want to pick it up from the angle I thought we were going to start with, but we went in another direction as the Holy Spirit was leading. Now we are going to talk about how that cross affects our lives. We have already explained the fact that the cross of Christ is a place where God nailed our old nature to. Is a place where He nailed all our problems to. Last time I spoke, and I felt very inspired while speaking then on the meaning of resurrection. Are you getting the point? It's very important. That resurrection is just is beyond the fact that somebody was dead and then He rose up again. We know that Jesus was not the first person to go through that process. We know that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Jesus was only dead for 3 days. You know, he was there for 3 days and three nights. But Lazarus was dead for four complete days. Yet Jesus woke him up from the dead by calling him, all right, with the power of His word. But the death of Lazarus did not say anything beyond the fact that Jesus was sent by God. Jesus was the Son of God. And He said it Himself. I have said this prayer loudly, all right, in John chapter 11. So that you will believe it's for your sake, all right? He said it that, you know, it was in the disciples earlier. He said, I'm happy that we did not go while He was still alive, all right? So that you guys can have some understanding. And when He got there, He began to pray. He prayed loudly. He said, the reason why I'm saying this loud is that so that the people will understand that indeed that you sent me. That was the importance of the raising of Lazarus, beyond the fact that the family themselves, they were blessed by the fact that their brother came back to life. But the significance of the raising of Lazarus for everybody else was so that His disciples will understand that indeed Jesus was sent by God. But in his own resurrection was far different. It was something intensely more intense. Ah, I like that. Don't you like it? Something that was intensely more intense. Because His own resurrection was a sign of the fact that certain things had happened in the realm of the Spirit. When He rose up from the dead, what He was saying essentially is that the reason why somebody dies is because of sin. The reason why anything is dead is because of sin. And once sin was dealt with, resurrection was natural. You get the point there. That is, it was a sign for the disciples. Remember we said that He did not, after He rose up from the dead, He didn't bother showing Himself to everybody else. The people He showed Himself to were those who were supposed to understand the reason why He died. The people He showed Himself to were the ones that His resurrection will help them understand that indeed that death was not in vain. For those who did not believe, it made no difference. You get my point? We understand that the curse that Noah placed upon Ham and his descendants, they have been effectively removed. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, there's no reason why you should be a slave in your life. You get that point? There is no reason. The fact that He rose up from the dead is the reason why you can never be a slave. The fact that He rose up from the dead is when you hear a doctor's report, you don't take it as final. That's the reason. There's no other reason. There's no other reason. Listen, you know, I was listening to a particular... Anyway, we'll get to... Let me know if I go there now, I'll get distracted. All right? Anyway, let me just say this one briefly. Don't worry, I will try not to be distracted. All right? What's the name of Israel's new friend? Gary Carpenter. All right? Anyway, it's a preacher we'll be listening to for some days now. Anyway, the man said something which was very, very interesting, you know? What excites me about it, one of our brothers here gave me his CD some time ago, but I really didn't take time out to listen to it for a long time. I have a lot of materials, you know, books and all. So I just picked this. Let me just start listening to this thing. And the first one I listened to, I was so impressed. You know why I was impressed? It was the first. Everybody say first. The first preacher I was hearing say something that I was saying, I thought I was alone. That apart from myself, the only other person I ever heard say it is me. Now, that's apart from Paul in the Bible. Do you understand? He said something very funny. That is, you've heard me say before, it will impress you just as somebody else was saying it who I never heard before. He said, God is not prospering you because of your giving. You know, you thought I was the only one saying it. I thought so too. I've said it before, I could not be the only one. Just I didn't know who else was saying. I finally found the fellow. He said, listen, that the reason, he quoted the same verse of the scripture that we have been using here to explain it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he explained that principle in there. What am I referring to it again? The reason why you will not remain poor is not because you are a great giver. Many great givers are dead. Are you getting my point? Somebody say, Cornelius gave. Therefore, God had to answer him. No, God just saw the sincerity of his heart. And what was the answer? This your way is not the correct way. If it was the correct way, they would have left him there. They said, this your way won't get you anywhere. So they sent messengers to him. Go and call Peter. What am I trying to explain to us again today? We understand by virtue of resurrection that if we focus on the cross of Christ, we will not remain poor. The passport to prosperity is focus on the cross. It is not give to somebody. Please don't hear it again. Why do I keep on saying these things? Because people hear the opposite a lot, and they are going to walk in a way that will not benefit them. The passport to prosperity is what? Focus on what? The cross of Christ. Why we have the confidence that it works is because Jesus rose from the dead. I said this last time. Let me not preach that message again today. The sign of the fact that the cross was and is effective is the resurrection. That's the meaning of resurrection. So if somebody wants to tell you that, with this one that you don't know anybody, you know your father is very poor, everybody in your generation, they don't know anybody, you didn't even go to proper school. The school that you went to is only half school. How are you sure that in this life you will succeed? You will say, Jesus paid on the cross to remove my poverty. And the sign that I will succeed is the fact that he rose up from the dead. That is the evidence. It's not my tithe booklet. My tithe booklet is a sign of how much contribution I'll give in my church. You hear what I said? Your tithe card is only a reflection of how much money you have contributed to your church. It is not at all any reason why God will bless you. I hope you are hearing it. The reason why God blesses you is that Jesus died for you. And you believe. He said, what is his reason for giving us Jesus Christ? So that whosoever we believe will not perish, but have eternal life. What does it mean to believe? We have examined it again and again. It means to look at that serpent that was lifted up and look at him steadily. Give me another word. With an absorbing gaze. Persistently, expectantly. That is the reason why God blesses you. I'm happy the days have passed for you. When you go and kneel down and be reminding God of what you did for him. I heard Gary Carpenter said this. He said that the Holy Spirit said to him, do you think it ever crossed the mind of Jesus Christ to think like this? What will I do today that will make my father bless me? Instantly he realized that no, Jesus could not have thought like that. The Father himself loves you. That's what Jesus told his disciples. I'm saying to us again today, the reason why God healed you is not because you gave one fat offering. Offerings are good. It's a sign of where your love is. If a year passes, I don't give anything to my wife. She has the right to complain whether my husband is not backsliding. This love is waxing cold. Are you getting my point? Periodically, I mean, you must do something to show that you are in love with this person. My mother called me yesterday and blessed me tremendously. Called my wife and blessed my wife tremendously. Why? Because we did something small. And she was so impressed by it. And after she hung up the phone, I said, "Mom, that's the least. I mean, it's nothing. But why did I do something for my mother so that she called me? I was so happy and she was blessing me. It's simply because she's my mother. I didn't do that counting on the blessing. I didn't do that because I said, let me sow a seed. After all, the Bible says that honor your father and your mother. Did the Bible say so? Yes, it did. Was that why I did it? No. Why did I do that? It is simply because if I have substance, are you getting my point? I cannot allow somebody who I claim to love be in lack. I did not sow any seed, you know what I mean, consciously, into her life. I was just being a normal person. That is what normal Christian sons do. Jaguda sons can do the opposite. Accursed children can do the opposite. But blessed children, that is what they do. As Christians also, all our good works, they are the expressions of the true nature of God that is in us. They are not the things we do for God so He can bless us. I've been saying this in every day. I'm even tired of saying it. But since you know what I mean? You know, the feet washing must continue. You understand what I'm saying? Every time people go out, their feet gather all kinds of false doctrine dust. We have to wash it constantly. The resurrection is a sign that you are already blessed. You hear what I said there? The resurrection is what? A sign that, say it, that I am already blessed. That's a sign. Please, let me say this before I continue to this message. Remember, it is what you accept. Isaiah said, who has believed our report? It is what you accept as your own portion of the truth of the word of God that becomes real in your life. Don't ever forget that. So if you say that, but I'm not blessed yet, are you seeing something? You have rejected something. So no matter how you feel, if the word of God says you're already blessed, what do you say? Amen. If the word of God says you're already healed, what do you say? Amen. But I don't feel well, what difference does it make? It is not possible for my experience to tell the word of God it is lie. Do you get my point? My experience cannot tell the word of God you don't know what he has said. That is what we have discussed up to this particular point on the issue of the cross of Christ. Now let's continue from that point today and read from the book of Galatians chapter 2 and then we'll read chapter 6. I've been repeating myself a lot, but I really don't care. I think I should continue to do that because like Ken Hagin said, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. Peter said, I know you know these things already, or you think you know them. But I must not neglect to continue to remind you of them. The book of Galatians chapter 2, let's just start from there today. Okay, we'll read this and then quickly go to chapter 6. First of all, let's read from chapter 2. I will read from verse... I'm going to verse 20, but I like to get things in context, so I will jump from verse 15 until I eventually settle when I get to 20. From verse 15, it says, we are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Now, let me jump from there. From verse 19, he says, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. This is reality currently. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is, he said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Please notice that I like the way it says it in the King James. Very nice and poetic the way it sounds there. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Please note that. Let's go back to, let's continue in chapter 6. The book of Galatians chapter 6. Now, please notice this, because this chapter 6 will help me explain something very well. Now, where I'm going again is verse 14. But I have to go back a few steps so that you can understand the things that led to what he said in verse 14. From verse 11, he says, see with what large letters, of course, before we read this, remember, Paul, when he wrote this book of Galatians, it was because he was angry. He was angry that the people of God that he had taught the word of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ had departed, and they were trying to please God by observing the laws. You know, some people came from Jerusalem and began to teach the Galatians that they needed to be circumcised and obey the laws of Moses, not go out on Sabbath day. You know, you've heard things like that before. They will tell you that you still have to observe which meats are clean, which ones are not clean. Otherwise, God will not be pleased with you. And Paul heard this and he was very angry. All right? So he wrote the book of Galatians to explain to them that nobody pleases God by obeying the laws. Are you getting my point? That the primary pleasure of God comes from the faith that we have in the Son Jesus Christ. And that was what he was trying to explain to the people. Now, let's now read this. He said to them, see with what large letters, verse 11 of chapter 6, I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised. Now, that's why I had to give that background so that we can understand what he's saying here. He said, those who try to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. I'll read from another version here to make it clearer. Let me just complete this. But may it never be that I will boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Verse 14 is the reason why I read this, but let's just complete this. He said, for neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Let me just stop there. Now, why I read this is the statement, remember chapter 2, we read that he said, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Alright? Here he's saying that this is what I want to know. He said, I desire, he said, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me. Now, please note that. What I wrote this is the fact that he said the world has been crucified to me. Now, let me read this in another version and I begin to say what I want to say about this today. Quickly, let's read from, just pay attention, I'll read from the New Living Translation. Just a few verses here. From verse 13, it says, for even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want to be they only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. Please, I want you to follow this. They only want you to be circumcised. That's verse 13. So they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. Paul now said in verse 14, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, may I never boast about the work I have done in ministry. May I never boast about what I have accomplished, humanly speaking. May I never boast, and I'll get to that. That's the main thing I want to talk about today. May I never boast in anything apart from the cross of Christ, apart from what Jesus Christ accomplished in my life. That's the only thing I'm allowed to boast about. That's what they were saying. Now, I've finished reading this. Let me begin to teach my message for today. The first thing I want to say again today about the cross of Jesus Christ is that it is a time boundary in the existence of mankind. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Moses was not the time boundary. The cross of Jesus is the time boundary. What do I mean? You read in that Hebrews chapter 1 that God in former times spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, we've discussed that before again and again, that the thing that divides the time on the times, all right, let me use that expression, in this world is that cross of Jesus Christ. Before him, it was the former times. After his cross and resurrection, it became what? Latter days. Now, I want you to follow me very closely here. In the existence of mankind in this world, that is the dividing boundary. Once Jesus came, the time shifted. It became a matter of what? Latter days. That's why, now please, I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about tithing. I just want to bring out the spiritual principle. Just that is the one that's most popular. When people want to argue about tithing, should Christians tithe or Christians not tithe? Now, I'm not discussing that now, all right? That's not what I'm discussing at all. I'm not even trying to make an inference about it. I just want to explain a principle. The arguments go like this. Tithing was under the law. No. Some people now say tithing was what? Before the law. After all, Abraham tithed. So if it was before the law, it means it is still existing till today. That's the importance. Well, that's why they say those things. Now, again, I'm not trying to say anything about it. But I just want to say that that argument is very faulty. Find another argument. Moses was not the dividing point. It was the coming of Jesus Christ that was the dividing point. That's why sacrificing animals was before the law. True or false? Do you now sacrifice animals to God now? No. Why don't you do it? Because the cross of Christ had happened. So you see, the dividing point is not Moses. The dividing point is the cross of Jesus Christ. Like I said, I didn't say that to make any statement on that argument, even though most of you here know my opinion. But in case somebody listening to this, find another argument to make your point. Because these are the things, you know, you look at, people say, Abraham tithed before the law. Fine, who was arguing that? But bear in mind, in the scriptures, the dividing line is the cross of Jesus Christ. That was why Abraham sacrificed animals, raised altars everywhere he went. After God delivered his wife and gave back to him from the Egyptians, he erected an altar, sacrificed an animal, and called upon the name of the Lord. If you call me now and say, Pastor, my wife just delivered, praise God. My family just came back, they traveled, praise God. So we are doing Thanksgiving. And I reach your house, you have put some igneous rock, you get my point, on top of each other. And I see two people dragging one fat ram. I say, what is going on? We are sacrificing unto the Lord. Do we need to discuss it further? No. Let's leave it there. You won't do that. In case you do not know, your grandfather did that. Yes, he had to do it. The reason why he stopped, why his generations like you stopped, is simply because he started going to church. And when they went to church, they were told, and the church established it as a doctrine and a principle for them to understand, that Jesus has been offered as a last offering. So the dividing point, that's what I'm emphasizing, is the cross of Jesus Christ. Now that's not the message for today. That's just theological exercise. The main message for today is that dividing point is not only for this earth or for this world, it is also for the life of every individual. This is how you are. You are one way until you get to the cross of Jesus Christ, and after that, you become something else. That's why Paul said to us in that book of Galatians chapter 6, and that's my main message for today. He says simply, he said, this is what the cross of Jesus Christ is. Notice this. I didn't complete reading the New Living Translation. I didn't complete it. Let me just complete it. He said, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Notice that that's New Living Translation. It said, because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Now, let me explain that Galatians chapter 6 again, all right? That verse 14. Now, notice what happened, or the build-up to that verse 14. Some people, now listen to this carefully, and I like to always take this message to preachers. If you attend a church, tell your pastor this. Are you getting my point? If you're a preacher, pay attention. If you attend a church, tell your pastor this. I attended a church once. I don't mean to say this, but it's a man I respect a lot, so we all make mistakes. Do you understand? There are things I did last year that I'm sure if I think about, I'm embarrassed. There are things I did many years ago. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. There are things I did to my wife maybe years ago, and I said, if I do that again, in fact, if they reported you that you did that to me, I will suspend you by one leg, you know, for just 1 hour until your head gets correctly rearranged. You get my point? We keep learning. Amen? Amen. We keep learning. All right, so maybe the man also has learned. I used to go to church, and I hear the man say, okay, let's take as an example in Nigeria. We are now the 17th largest church in Nigeria, and the whole church will clap. You see, we are walking. So, guys, we have to keep walking and inviting people to church. And then the following Sunday, you see, our number is now, just as an example, is now 4,000. We are now the 6th largest church in West Africa. And people will clap, you know, and they will be happy. So, they keep. And I used to wonder, say, okay, what is the point about? Are you following what I'm trying to say? There are people that belong to denominations only because of their size. They feel safe. They feel secure. I've met a lot of Christians like that. I've met preachers like that. They feel safe because they belong to a denomination that is large. Paul says something here that it is forbidden. Now listen. It is forbidden for you as a Christian to boast in any other thing, especially as a preacher, other than the cross of Jesus Christ. You are not allowed. You know, that is why somebody asked me some time ago, why don't you put in your writings, you know, what you do in the secular world? I said, how does that add to my ministry? I don't know whether I get my point. How does it? If you read my books, I'm very, very scant. It's only when we are talking, do you get my point, that you get to know things about me. But you pick the book at the back, the only thing I write, in fact, the only thing I boast about there is I'm a member of the Light of Christ Community Alumni Fellowship Ministers Forum. These are my brethren. And that's the Church of Christ. You understand my point? I like, in fact, most people don't know them, but that's my identity. That's where I came out of as a minister. When I was coming out in ministry, people say, were you ordained? I was. I just was not ordained by a denomination that gives certificates. I was ordained by a group of brethren. And I felt happy about it years later. Do you know why? Because I was reading Lester Sumrall. And he said, ordination is supposed to be by people who know you, who believe in your ministry, and then they send you forth. That's why when I was ordained, literally I was. Went for many of you know my alumni, a pilgrimage I go for every year. One of those meetings, I called the brethren, said, brethren, you all know me very well. This is my wife who all of you gathered to give to me. We are now about to start this walk. And we knelt down there, about 6 of my brethren, some of them my seniors, most of them my seniors, a few of them my mates or my juniors. They all gathered, and we knelt down, and they placed their hands upon us, and they prayed for us. They prophesied and then were released. Are you getting my point? And I say, where's your certificate? You are my certificate. You. You. If you clicked online to listen to this, you are my certificate. Of all the millions of websites, you came to kwm.com.ng, you are the certificate. That you left everything you have to do this evening, and you've been doing that for some time, you are the certificate. What does that mean? That is proof that indeed there is an anointing and an unction upon me, and I was sent with the word of God in my mouth. Are you getting my point? Listen, as a preacher, you are not allowed to go and boast of the size of your congregation. You are not allowed to boast I have a doctor in divinity from Fuller Theological Seminary. You are not allowed. You are not allowed. You can't even boast in the college of bishops you belong to. Are you getting my point? As if to give yourself, you know, validation. You know, like, yes, this, no. Paul said, the only thing I boast about is the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm talking about. People, the other people that Paul was writing to counter their doctrines. He said, why are they doing what they are doing? They are doing these things so they can boast. Why do you preach what you are preaching? Are you preaching it to increase the number? Listen, you know, I've been around for a while. You get my point? Trust me, I've been around for a while. People actually preach doctrines that increase the number of churches. If I want to drive all of you here now out so that you won't have space next time you come, I'm happy you won't come back anyway, all right, if this happens. It is simple. Put a speaker outside, and I spend every 30 minutes attacking the devil and the witches and all the people that don't want you to prosper. Next time you show up, there won't be space. You see a lot of middle-aged women who have gathered. These women are more common at such times. You will find who will drag their grandchildren down for deliverance. You will find. Sometimes, now, why I told that story earlier, that's about I was in a place and the church, and of course, a mystic. And I remember I was sitting there and said, no, this is not necessary. This is not necessary. As Christians, we're not supposed to brag in, we are the 17th largest church in Africa. Who cares? Who cares? God does not care. You can't count the number of human beings that are really believers inside that place. If you want to gather a very large congregation, just invite Two Faces to be jamming every Sunday. Church go full. So, that's why as believers, there are things you don't brag upon. Now, let me sit on the main thing I'm trying to say. But what Paul's trying to emphasize here is this. That people were doing things for the boast in there. And I said, I can't do that. That this is actually my message. He said, I can't do that because at that cross, the world was crucified to me and I to the world. I said, at the cross, all our problems went away. Amen? Amen. But at the cross also, listen to this, everything that has to do with our personal ambition also dropped. Yes, it also dropped. It also dropped. It also dropped, and that's what Paul was talking about. Listen, that is a major problem with Christianity. Major problems with Christianity is that, I've said this again and again, Christians come to church. They come to hear the word of God to use to satisfy the worldly ambitions they have. Let me explain again. A Christian wouldn't steal, praise God. He's not going to carry drugs. He will not do all of those things. And for that, most of us, we feel very happy that we are good Christians. We don't steal. We don't carry drugs. We're not involved in, whether we call it corruption or stealing, we're not involved in any one of the above. But there's a problem. We are still hoping to become rich so as to be able to boast in the fact that even though I did not steal, I'm as rich as you. That's not Christianity. If God does that in your life, fine. If God sets you up as a way by which God will boast concerning the efficacy of the righteous principles he's teaching the earth, fine. Fine. But this is Christianity. Even my ambitions, when I get to that cross, they are dead. The things I previously bragged on. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The matters, literally, the things that I felt were important before, when I get to the cross, that's where I drop them. Listen, we have to get some things right, but those who made those mistakes, they actually had the right intention at the beginning, even though they made the mistakes. I don't talk about it. You hear things like, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Now, I don't believe I'm just passing through. You've heard me say that again and again. But it is important we still remember that indeed this world is not our home. We thought so before. But once we get to the cross, we understand
Here, I drop everything that has to do with my flesh. You see, that's why the cross is not effective in the lives of people. Because we want to take only half of it. We're able to look at the Jesus on the cross, but we can't see ourselves on the cross. When indeed, the Bible says that we were crucified with him. That's why Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. When he died, the original Paul died. The original Banky died. He said, but you are still alive. He said, yes, the life I'm now living in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And what was that faith? He described it. Listen, the first seminar I did here, or after I went on radio, I titled it The Real Faith, subtitled Following God's Plan for Your Life. Because when we're talking about the faith of the Son of God, this is a mistake we make sometimes. We think faith is the way by which we get everything. But go and check Jesus Christ. Faith was the way by which he gave everything. Go and check it. Go and check it. What Jesus used his faith to do was to be able to give everything. That was what he used his faith to do. His faith was not used to get everything. His faith was used to do what? To give everything. That was why when he had to give the greatest of gifts, you understand what it was? His life. It was difficult. It was difficult. It was very difficult. It was very, very difficult. There's nothing else he did that he had to pray serious prayer about. He just did that, did them. But when he came to the death on the cross, that was the first time he asked people, please pray for me. I don't know whether you get my point. He called his disciples, can't you guys pray with me for just an hour? That was how he used his faith. Please, I hope you are following my point. The faith was not the way by which he said, let's show Herod that we too we can prosper. Let's show Herod. Now I'm going to raise an offering of 1 billion naira and we're going to see. Let Herod know that our king, our economy is from above. Listen, oh God, I pray we understand this realm of Christianity. The exercise of his faith, the exercise was that even though, Paul said it, everything I accomplished in the flesh, this is the exercise of faith, I counted as dung. Oh, I don't know whether you are following the point I'm making. Listen, that's what faith is. That the things I thought were precious. One of our brothers once, he told me, his father is a very highly placed person. And he told me that he was praying that His father was about to be elevated to another higher position beyond the place where he's currently highly placed. So it was not he and I were discussing it. He said one of the reasons why he was just praying that the man would get it was that, when we're talking about it, he said one of the reasons was that he was going to use that, you understand, to open doors for himself when some things he's doing. I just want to simply, don't try it. No, he was a bit surprised. Pause for a moment. You bear the same surname, I know. I said, but listen, as Christians, you are not allowed to leverage on the personality of your father to go anywhere in life. Now, the man I'm talking to is a good man. If I had to beat my chest about people who are true Christians, he's one. But he was surprised. He asked me a few questions. He said, okay, if I need a letter of introduction from my father, can I collect? I said, will your father write for any of your friends? He said, yes. I said, then feel free. I said, just like you can walk up to me and I give you one. Are you getting my point? I said, but you can't count on the position of your father in life to use that one to leverage you to another level. I said, it is not Christianity. In Christianity, all those advantages are consciously dropped at the cross. One of our brothers here too, he did something. He told me, I think I told the story before, he was going to apply in Lagos University Hospital in the department where I used to be and where I'm still loved. The people in power there, they are my people. Do you understand? I know there are people that know me very well. We have, you know. So he told me that I applied in that place. He's gone for the interview. I said, why didn't you tell me? You know I'm connected there. He said to me, but you said. He said to me, but you said I don't need to know anybody to get anything I want in life. I said, I apologize.